So welcome to the blessing today. It's a beautiful day, rainy, but still beautiful down here on the coast of Texas. And we are still enjoying the reverberating blessing that was released in this area 2 weeks ago at our blessing conference. We're so glad to have all of you on the call today. And I see two callers are already teed up to ask a question or make a request. So I'm opening the line from the curse at 336.
Glenda?
Yes.
Hey, it's Randy from North Carolina. How are you?
I'm just fine, Randy. My goodness, it's been a long time since I've heard from you.
Yeah, it's been a while. I just wanted to chime in and say hello.
Well, great, great, and hello back at you.
It's good to hear your voice again.
Have you been off doing wonderful things?
I have. Last time I talked to you, I think I was in a situation that was pretty difficult and moved all through that. And just at a time right now, just feeling some wonderful things happening and just happy to be here.
Well, let's bless that turnaround in your life today, okay?
All right. Sounds wonderful.
All right. Thanks for tuning in. And there's another caller. Oh, it's Elizabeth. And your line is on. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, Glenda. I just have a request. I'm homing a cat right now whose name is Clancy, and I'm just looking after him, and I thought I had someone to take him, and I just found out this morning that that person cannot take him, and because of my living situation, I cannot keep him here. I'm just asking really for a blessing that the right person will show up to take Clancy to the right home, if we could just send a prayer out, because I know that will make it work. The right person will come. I feel they're right around, but I just need the extra prayer help.
You got it. You got it.
Thank you. And
Clancy,
thank you
so
much,
Elizabeth. And you have a wonderful blessing today yourself. So I'm going to scroll through the board. I think there may be some other people here that, yes, we do have some other people here. So we have Mara on the call. No, well, let's see. We have Mara on the call. Hi, Mara, I think I lost you. You may have to chime in again. In the meantime, I'll take another caller from area code 727, and you're on.
Well, hello, sweet Glenda. It's Eve.
Hi, Eve.
How are you?
Doing great today.
Good. So I just wanted to share with the group any animal-related requests, including finding a home for Clancy. Those can be forwarded to our Christ Animal Blessing email. And if people would like to include photos of their pets or lost pets, please attach those, and I'll go ahead and give you that email address.
Please do.
Okay, it's eve@christanimalblessing.com.
Terrific, and I'll post that frequently so other people can take advantage of it, and you do such great work, Eve. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Just quickly, I did send an email notification out to all the blessing givers, so hopefully that was distributed this morning.
Okay, oh, good.
Regarding the animal blessings.
Great. Okay, good. And I see Mara's back on the line. Hi, Mara. You're on.
Hi, Glenda.
Yes, we hear you.
Oh, okay. I don't have a question. I just want to let everybody know all the new blessing givers. I'd like to express a deep welcome to them. And thank you for joining us. And my computer has been down for about 2 weeks. I expect to be up and running again in a few days, I hope. And so I was unable to send off those messages. But I truly I'm very thrilled that our group is growing.
Oh, thank you so much, Amara, and we're really thrilled that you're part of it. So you're such a light in the world, and just keep up the good work. I'm sure everything will come through as it needs to, and we'll send a blessing to you for technical assistance, just the kind you need. Okay?
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And we have a caller from area code 512, and you are on. Hello, you're on, but we can't hear you. You may need to unmute your own telephone. Okay. Well, the caller from 512 has decided to let this be a silent request. So,
hello?
Hello?
Hi, this is Julie.
Oh, hi, Julie.
I was having trouble with my unmute. Yeah, this is Julie from Austin, and I'm calling to say hello, and sorry I wasn't able to join you guys at the last Blessing Givers Conference, but I had one of the most powerful blessings I received when you guys did your first blessing that day, so it was awesome.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it was wonderful. I was calling to ask for a blessing for my mom. She goes by the name Dot.
Okay.
And she had a cardiac event this week is what they're calling it. She had two stents placed, which are now doing really well, and she's back home. So just prayers and blessings for her continued healing, and, you know, thanks for all the wonderful medical professionals that did such an awesome job. And also just a request for continued support of our family, and that we just continue to be able to support one another as well.
You got it. It will be our pleasure. And give your mom a hug from all of us. Okay?
I will. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye for now. We have a caller from area code 774, and you're on.
Hi, Glenda. It's Darlene.
Hi, Darlene.
Hi.
Darlene's a blessing giver.
Yes, I am, and I really need some prayers and blessings from my mother.
Okay.
It's been 6 months since she suffered her brain aneurysm, and I've been to court 3 times, and I've been denied access to my mother, and a judge has put my sister in charge of my mother, who... Unfortunately, my sister has battled drugs and alcohol since she was 13, and now she's caring for my mother. And it's a very dangerous situation for my mom because she's incapacitated, and her brain damage has left her incapable of speaking for herself, or she has no cognitive skills. She's just completely vulnerable. And she's at home with my sister. She's not in a nursing home. So I fear for her life and her safety. And so I just could use the assistance of all the blessing givers to keep her in your thoughts and prayers and blessings.
What is her name, dear?
Her name is Irene.
Irene.
Yeah.
We certainly will. And just as a side thought, oftentimes in life, we find ourselves in situations where the wrong person is in a dominant position. And I think it really behooves us to always remember that it's God who's really in charge. And maybe we just need to look beyond and above that person or persons that are in a false or unworkable state of dominance, so that we can work with a higher power. And of course, that's what we do in the blessings. So we will keep your mother, Irene, in our prayers, our blessings, and our thoughts. And you just stay in connection with the higher power. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. And I see Eva's on the line. Hi, Eva. Eva, you've disappeared. Maybe you need to *6 again and come back on. I opened your line, and as soon as I did, Eva went into silent mode. So, there we go. All right. Now you're live.
Hello?
Hello, we can hear you.
Okay, good. Yes, I just wanted to tell my little story about Angel, because I lost Angel for a day and was very distressed last Thursday, because I allowed him to go outside with me, and I think all of the terror suddenly came back to him from his being out there or something, and he bolted, and I couldn't find him anywhere for that day and was very upset. So if Chris and Holly are on the line, I want to thank you very much for having the blessing call on Thursday night, because I really needed that very badly at the time. And I was on that call, and it was very comforting for me. And so thank you, and to the rest of them, to Scott and a few of the others that I don't remember everybody. But that was very helpful. But what I was feeling Thursday was a tremendous guilt, and I knew that it wasn't totally because of Angel, although that triggered it all. And we did fortunately get him back during the night. Well, my son-in-law set a trap, which is how we caught him in the first place, because he was so wild. But instead of putting him in the trap, the next morning, my daughter, when she left her big cat out, thought he was acting a little funny, and so she brought him back in. She said, "I think Angel must be around somewhere." And he turned out to be hiding in the stacks of wood, which they have in the back of the house, in between two stacks. And she and my son-in-law brought out a little dangly toy and lured him out. And knowing how fast he was before, my son-in-law was right there when he got to the edge and grabbed him. 6:15 on Friday morning, I woke up and I wondered. I looked and I saw my son-in-law's truck was still there, so I said, "Okay, I guess I'll go out and check the trap, because he hasn't done it yet." And when I got out in the other room, I saw my living room light brightly lit, and there was Angel back, and I was so happy. And both of us seem to have been changed tremendously through the experience. He was very active and not cuddly. And Friday morning, I just held him in the chair, and he just fell asleep in my lap and just was so content. And also, I had a treatment that day with a biophoton therapist. And she, by the way, is also, we met through your work, Glenda. Many, many years ago when you had a course on Keys of Yeshua.
And oh, really? Okay.
That was before we had to dial in and everybody could just talk and discovered that here was this lady that lives across the river. We periodically got together and then lost it, you know, weren't together for a while. Now she is doing this biophoton therapy, and I've gone to her several times. And whenever I have a holistic treatment coming up with energy like that, it something always comes up for me to release. And as this was happening on Thursday, I thought, gee, I'm having this treatment tomorrow, and I think this just might be a big release. But still, at the time, I was still so afraid that that Angel would never come back. And so,
yeah.
You know, when I got over to her, then I was still telling her the story, and I was just, like, she gave me a big hug, and she says, "You're just shaking." And even though he was back, I was still in that state. And I said, "Yes, I know this is about a lot of guilt from years and years, and fortunately I've learned about cellular memory and know that all that can get stuck in your body and needs to be released. Or else sometimes I think I would think I was really going berserk. But through that treatment of relaxing my body and letting go of the old patterns and having this experience, and now Angel being so totally almost transformed as well, also having been on the blessing call, and I'm sure they were helping, you know, with their blessings for us, and it's just miraculous. And I just want to share how wonderful it feels. And the
difference
between the feeling of Thursday and now is like night and day. It's just really amazing. So I'm very, very
grateful. It is. And thank you for sharing that, Eva. It's time we moved into our presentation section of the call today, because people are tuning in for that. But actually, that was a good beginning for our presentation today, because the fact is, sometimes hardships give us an opportunity to burn off years and years of similar emotional toxins, shall we say, things we have built up because we either feel guilty or we felt irresponsible or we felt, helpless and hopeless to make a difference in life. The simple thing is, and what, Eva, I hope you take away from this and everyone takes away from their blessing, is that so many times we simply can't fix a problem. The problem exists either in the realm of the other person or soul or entity, or it is something that's just moving through as a pattern of the universe or a pattern of culture or life, and we can't fix everything. And that's when it's really important that we turn to faith that God can fix it, or at least use it as an element for purging our old events. When we move through, when we accept a current event as a way of purging old events, we can actually transform ourselves, as Eva was demonstrating. But in the end, what makes life better is we move to a higher level. And sometimes when critical events of that sort, whether it's losing a mate or getting a very bad diagnosis from the doctor, or having a pet in trouble, or a job in trouble, or a major relationship falling apart, doesn't matter what it is, let's just call them all critical events, they present us with choices. And sometimes the best thing that can happen to us is that we cannot fix them, because there's always another choice, and that is to rise to a level, higher level, where the problem doesn't exist. Many times problems are fixed that way. We rise to a level of consciousness that simply attracts the more perfect configuration for life. We find that when we're down here in the level of struggle, conflict, and disappointment, bad things just do happen. They do. Hopefully not all the time. We have moments of happiness. We'll have runs of good events and pleasantries and positive results. But then something critical will happen, and we're faced with it. And sometimes we burrow into it trying to be the person with the solution. And we take a lot of pride, especially ego pride, in being the problem solver for that event. Or we find someone like a doctor or a mechanic who can be the problem solver for that event. But there are so many times when I have simply taken on the mantle of faith that elevated me to a higher place of energy, and the event just dissolved. It resolved itself. And I think a lot of these events come to cause us to make that decision. And that brings us back to something I wanted to say for a little more about last week in our call. Because what we were talking about last week was a little bit more on receiving the blessing and also praying for results, miracles, blessings, healing, abundance, whatever we're praying for, about being aware to not pray from inside the problem. Most of us have developed a really bad habit of asking for help from inside our problem, and we do that with other human beings because we think people will have more sympathy for us if they actually see the problem. And we think, well, if we show up asking for help and we don't have a problem, they're not going to help us. So we think God works that way. God doesn't work that way. I don't mean to be callous about it, but the fact is God's not interested in your problems. God is interested in you. God doesn't love your problem. God loves you. When you show up to God as the perfect child that you are, that's how you show up in your prayer. Read the passage of the parable of the prodigal son. Just read the passage of the prodigal son. You can, I don't have the chapter and number right now in front of me, but I'll search for it online. Maybe I can find it before our call is over. And, but I will continue what I want to say. The prodigal son was the child that just went wayward into the world, encountered all kinds of problems, and he was steeped in problems and couldn't solve them. Everything was going bad for him. He had had a luxuriously financially successful life, but it got to where it just didn't work. And finally, he just decided, I'm going to go home to my father, and I would rather be just a poor man in my father's home. I would rather be a servant in my father's home. And by the way, I do have that quote for you. That's Luke 15:11-32. So if you want to read it in the New Testament, that's it. Luke 15:11-32. It's a good one to read in relation to what I'm communicating. And the father didn't care. He didn't give three bushels of figs about the hard life his son had lived. All he cared about is his son showed up. And he so embraced his son, he instructed all the servants to go and kill the fatted calf and lay a banquet for his son. His son is all he cared about. Now, this is one thing you need to know when you pray. Yes, if you go to human services for extra assistance in life, you better show them your problem. But that's not the way God works. Let's don't confuse God with human welfare services. It's not the same. In fact, even your parents don't work that way, those of you who still are dealing with parent-child issues. Even your parents don't work that way. They don't like to see you have problems. They like to see you excel. Isn't that what they've always rewarded? So often, when you had problems, isn't that when they grounded you or sent you to your room and said, don't come out until you've got it straight? So even your earthly parents act more like God than human welfare services work. In fact, the one thing I don't like about our expanded system of human welfare services, now I know it's necessary for many, many, many people who are struggling with physical survival, so I don't do a thumbs down on that. It's very necessary, but it's bad training for how to get the real answer. Because to get the real answer is to move to a higher level where these problems don't exist. And above all, we have to learn not to identify with our problems. You cannot change ever anything you identify with. And I can't drive that home enough. If you, for example, you're coming down with the flu. You could say, I'm going to the pharmacist and I'm going to tell the pharmacist, you know, I think I picked up a bug. Is there anything over the counter that could help me strengthen my immune system? Now you identify with your immune system. Strengthen my immune system so I can blow off this bug I seem to be picking up. That's the correct language. if you go to the pharmacist and you say, I need some help with my flu, you're not going to, well, he probably uses the same language, so he won't criticize you for your language, but he'll give you all kinds of things that will not help you with your flu, because your flu belongs to you, and by golly, until you disidentify with that flu, it's not going away, my friends. Until you disidentify with your poverty, it's not going away. You're going to have to find a way of identifying with whatever levels of wealth you have. Maybe you have a wealth of information. Maybe you have a wealth of creative spirit. Maybe you have a wealth of goodwill, a wealth of friends. Maybe you take strolls in nature and you just adore the wealth of nature. You're going to have to create a strong identity connection with wealth. And then deal with the scarcity of cash flow, which is just a thing outside yourself. You can change the things outside yourself. When you go into prayer, pray in gratitude to God for all the wealth you already have. And ask for help in translating your enormous wealth into greater cash flow. Now, that's a prayer that can work. Watch what you identify with. You cannot change what you identify with because it is part of your precious I am center of being. Now, having said that, now, in your prayers and your meditations, take a look at where you're really centering your precious I am center of being. Have you really honored the love that is actually you? Chances are most people haven't, because what they've done is they've put an identity place marker there instead of the love that they are. Chances are most people identify with being a teacher, a postman, a doctor, a technician, a plumber, a money builder, a motivating coach, whatever it could be, a farmer, a legal assistant. The list goes on and on. That's who most people have identified with. And now guess why they have trouble changing careers? Guess why they have trouble advancing in their career? Your center of being is like the center of a wheel. It's the only part of the wheel that doesn't move. If you need to get an example of that, then get a little wheel and look at it. Let it be a stationary wheel, because I'm not talking about forward and backward movement as with a ball. I'm talking about the center of the wheel. It doesn't move. Everything moves around it. So what is at the center core of your being is literally the power of your life. That's what connects with the hub of your vessel in life. And what drives the vessel of your life is literally the power of the universe and the power of God. If you want to have a good connection with the hub of that wheel, at the hub of that wheel, make sure you've got a good connection and that it's in the highest place it can be in. Now, that doesn't mean that all the problems of the world will instantly go away. But you will resolve them differently. You will find answers differently. You will have less stress about them. You will be more open to the blessings of God, the abundance of natural blessings and opportunities. you will be able to nourish yourself with all the great food that's available. Not just the food on your table, but the food of inspiration and ideas and human learning and capability and friendship and all that we have to offer in the Blessings on Sunday. So this is really your homework during the week, every week. Where are you in the center of your life? Have you carried your illness in there with you? Have you carried your poverty in there with you? If you have, get it out to the perimeter of the wheel. You may not get rid of it immediately, instantly, but as long as it's on the perimeter of the wheel, you can change it. You can find answers. You can get help. When you pray to God, are you only praying about all the things God wouldn't even want to see for you? Do you think God wouldn't want to see you as a perfect being? Take your perfection to God and feel the hug you get in return. God wants you. If you give God you, God will fix your problems. And that's pretty much the way it works. So let's get started with a blessing. And pardon my directness in this coaching, but you know, a big part of the blessing is our readiness for the blessing, so that we're in the right place for receiving all that's being given to us. Daily, we've been given the wealth of the universe, but we don't always receive it because we're not in the right place to receive it. So now just be seated, be silent, be still, be in a state of surrender to your own perfection. That's a hard one. When you've been criticizing yourself, when you've been looking at all of your inadequacy and been worried about whether you can fix a problem and afraid you can't, it's very, very hard to sit in the chair and feel your own perfection. And sometimes we feel guilty about feeling our own perfection when those around us are not feeling theirs. Do it anyway. Do it anyway, because the best thing you can offer to the world is a better person who lives closer to God. So let's begin. And I would ask the blessing givers to join me now. I will offer an invocation to Yeshua, and then you will offer your prayer, whatever it is, for whatever it is, for about 3 minutes while we are conducting these blessings to you. After that, I want you to go rest, receive, and assimilate. Dear Yeshua, Lord of life, Son of God, the one who has most perfectly received the Father and the Creator of all life into your own being, that you may exemplify that perfection for us and become an example to us of how we can move closer to God in our life, in our understanding of self, and in the way we offer ourselves to the world and to others, to love others as ourselves, and to love God as fully as we can. From that state of being, we pray that we may move into the holy center, where on the perimeter of life, all of our problems are dissolved or addressed, are brought to resolution with answers. We pray now for results on the perimeter of our life and exaltation and upliftment at the center of our being. Thank you for this and all you shall give. Amen. Amen. Your blessing is complete. Now, go and rest, assimilate, be nourished by all the gifts of God. I wish you a wonderful week and look forward to being with you again next Sunday. So bye-bye for now.